Midnight Music.
Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, the soap opera that is the Bloodline hits a pivotal turning point as Jey Uso makes a decision that will shape the course of this never-ending soap opera. Plus, Roman Reigns gets a new belt, Tony Khan makes another announcement, and it is no Mysterio how hated Dom Dom is. Oh yeah, also Saudi Arabia made another purchase, so this is going to be very, very fun. So sit back, relax, try to breathe if you're on the East Coast, and hit that camel clutch and say, hop to eat a Hulk Hogan. It is the episode 343 of Kings of the Rings podcast, Sheiky Baby, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio, and it starts right now. Hot Tui, fuck you, Hulk Hogan. Okay, so did anybody have Canada being on fire on their 2023 bingo card?
I did. Fuck you, Canada.
You're
the only one. Canada is supposed to snow. It is not supposed to be fucking burning. This is the first sign of the apocalypse. Canada just said, fuck it, we're just going to burn it. We're just going to burn shit up at this point.
Like, we're sick of waiting.
Yeah, it's over. It's over, folks. We are in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 343. Sheiky, baby. Rest in peace to the Iron Sheik. We're going to talk more about him in just a little bit. I don't care if it's June. You are supposed to snow, frets. I'm your host, King Ricky Rose, along with Willie T and Kayfabe. Formerly known as DK Murphy, might be in the future known as Gene Gay, or maybe what was the other ones the we just had? The demo gay kayfabe. Oh, that's so good. I can't wait to make that a shirt. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first and foremost, Will Tarashok, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I should probably go get my inhaler. I haven't needed it in like 15 years. So, Fred, if I have an asthma attack, I'm gonna send you the bill if we healthcare up there. So be aware. Look out for that one. My name is Will Tarashok, T as in Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K. It's been 57 days since my last incident because I pooped myself. Hey, Murphy.
Touche, if that's only what that actually meant.
Sup, fuckers. I was just going to ask, what was the incident?
I didn't actually poop myself. I don't know what the incident is. I'm sure it's a quantum.
I'm really glad that you didn't poop yourself. I'm very impressed. I have my inhaler because New York City is orange.
The entire East Coast is orange.
That was 56 years, what, 8 weeks ago? What did I do 8 weeks ago?
Orange is the new black.
What was 8 weeks ago?
You weren't on the show, okay?
generally speaking.
The mystery continues.
So yeah, I don't know, Ricky. I got some explaining to do on that one.
I know what it is. Don't worry about it. K Murphy, tell us about your time in NOLA.
Oh my god, y'all. I had the most wild fucking week in New Orleans. I danced. I sang. I got beads. You know how. I was violently high throughout the entire trip. And woo, indeed. And I experimented with hair extensions for the first time.
Interesting. Wait. Hold on. You experimented with hair.
Do you want to see? Do you want to see that?
Aren't your sides usually like shaved though? How's
that seriously.
Wait. Hold on. BRB.
All right. I'm very interested to see what K's hair extensions are. I really hope it was like Bianca Belair hair extension.
Oh my god.
Like just one giant ponytail. Swinging it around everywhere and skipping down Bourbon Street. That's
I'm
all
on my
I
own against the wall.
Yep. So I bought a clip-in ponytail.
Oh my god, I was correct. It's clip-in ponytail like Bianca Belair.
I don't know. I wanted to like feel a little cunty in New Orleans and try something different. No one, if it looked bad, no one was gonna see me ever.
Yeah, I went to Quan here, Kay. It's leather. That might be appropriation over there, my friend.
It's literally no. Look, it's. I will not do that to Quan.
Well, it's not braided.
No, God, no. It's literally.
It's a Quan.
Look, it's a claw clip.
Oh, it looks great. So it looks great.
It does look pretty
dope. So I literally just clip it to my ponytail, and I have hair, and honestly, like, it looks like shit right now because I didn't, like, do it, but, like, it was so cute. Hold on, I'll send like a picture in the host chat.
You definitely did like a model little picture, didn't you?
Oh wait, oh just wait.
Did a kayfabe photo shoot?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm gonna show you. I'm sending you my Bourbon Street outfit with the extensions.
Kay thought they were gonna fit in the Little Mermaid screen.
Hey, it's not like I'm wearing my red wig. You know my Eva Marie wig?
I remember your Eva Marie wig.
It's somewhere.
Was that Judy from Doug?
I don't know, was it? I don't remember.
I had a red wig. I bought the red wig when I wanted Eva Marie to come back. I had the green wig when I was Shotzi for Halloween. And then I had a blue wig from a Halloween costume I did.
Welcome to the All ball right. pit. Gotta love it. Are you really posting it right now?
Yeah.
I put it in the host chat.
All right, hold on. I'll look at it in a second.
Looks good. Looks really good.
Thank you. See, that's like a clip-in ponytail that I bought on Amazon.
Well, it actually does look really good, Kay.
Thank you.
Amazon coming in the clutch yet again, folks.
No, literally, Amazon is, like, fucking saving my ass. Like, I've been buying shit for the apartment. Like, I'm putting shag rugs everywhere right now.
Nice.
I'm very, very nice. We have tile floors. They're really hard. So I have this purple. I have purple in my office and then green in the bedroom.
Very nice, very nice. So, Kay Mary, welcome back, Kay. We've missed
Thank
you.
Thank you. I missed you guys. Literally, yes. Like, I was supposed to make my grand return with Bad Bunny, and then literally my whole life, like, was upended. Like, I moved. I went to New Orleans. I got COVID. I have hair. A lot of stuff
has happened, but you did come back at a very, very opportune time, Kay, because this is our first episode in June, which means it's our first episode during Pride Month as our logo turns to completely to our rainbow logo of years past, as you can see on the screen. So, Kay, as our resident rainbow and as you have been resident rainbow since you've been on the show for it was 4 or 5 years ago at this point. Yeah. I wanted to give you this platform.
May was 4 years since I joined the show.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you were on you started the show. So I wanted to give you this platform to a little bit every week to talk about Pride Month. I know we've done stuff for Pride in years past. We're kind of low-key this year, but I still want to give you the opportunity to talk about this, as I know this is something that's very important to you. You have educated myself and Will enormously throughout the years about this, and I think you do an excellent job, seeing that you're also heavily in the field as, a member of the Trevor Project. So please speak away on this. I know it's very, very important to you.
Hello. So, instead of focusing on fundraising this year we are going to raise awareness and spread knowledge, because Pride is something that has been heavily discussed this year. It's a super polarizing topic right now, because honestly, most people don't really want to fuck with Pride. So, like, shout out to us for actually having a rainbow logo. I know I've talked shit about rainbow capitalism in the past, but, like, it's super scary right now seeing, like, nobody showing support for, like, the queer and trans community. So, like, I wanted to kind of carve out some time each week to kind of, like, let y'all know, like, what Pride is about. Like, it's not just, like, a rainbow logo and, like, a party. So today I'm going to do a little lesson on the updated Pride flag. So,
ooh, I do like the updated Pride flag. Wait, has it been updated, like,
the progress one?
I don't think I've seen the progress one.
I'm going to drop a photo in our... Actually, no, I'll drop the photo in our Discord.
Does this one include the two-spirited people? I know Canada now recognizes the two-spirited people.
I wasn't sharing the two-spirited flag, but I can find that.
Okay.
If y'all give me a few moments.
Two-spirited people are really funny. That's a good one.
I don't know if funny's the word.
I'll use the word funny. Two-spirited people. I don't even believe I have one spirit. I wish I had two.
Two. I mean, they can fight with each other.
I know it also has origins in, like, Native American culture. Two-spirit.
Ah, that makes sense.
Like specifically Native American culture.
So, okay, what do you have for us this week?
All right. So, the Progress Pride flag, it came out in 2017. I believe it came out in it was created in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So the pride flag has changed a lot over the years and has it's reflected different, like the rainbow has featured different colors in the past. Like the original pride flag featured hot pink and turquoise, but it doesn't anymore. The progress pride flag, you'll see the rainbow flag, like the traditional pride flag is reflected. And then there's the white, pink, and blue stripes that represent trans people. And then the brown and black stripes to represent BIPOC people. Because, and I'll get more into this in a later episode, like pride started as a riot and we would not have our rights without trans women of color. Like, full stop. So,
Stonewall.
Exactly. We will have a whole Stonewall episode when we get closer to the anniversary of Stonewall. Mm-hmm. So,
is the Stonewall anniversary also in June?
Yes.
Okay.
So, the Stonewall anniversary is the end of June.
Gotcha. So, this will probably be during our one of our seminal shows, our Money for the Mark show.
Yeah, Money for the Marks will coincide with,
with Stonewall.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, it's going to be the last show of June. It's going to be our last show of June.
Shit.
Yeah.
So, like I had said before, the white, blue, and pink colors on the flag represent the trans community. The black and brown represent people of color. And then the red and the rainbow represents life. Orange represents healing. Yellow represents new ideas, green represents prosperity, blue represents serenity, and violet represents spirit.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
A little flag lesson.
Thank you. Thank you, Kay, for sharing for that, because I think that's pretty awesome. I totally forget that the different colors represent different things in the Pride flags. That's pretty awesome to kind of get a refresher about.
I had no idea they represented anything.
Yeah, I believe... I think hot pink represented sexuality, and I don't remember what turquoise stood for. But turquoise also had a meaning. Like, every color has always had a specific meaning in the flag.
Mm. Okay. Very, very interesting. So thank you, Kay. So like Kay said, all throughout the month of June, Kay is going to be spearheading, educating us on some pretty awesome facts about the LGBTQ community, as well as pride in and of itself. Because there is a lot to learn. You'll be surprised about all the things that you can learn. This is in lieu of us just talking about, as Kay and I had discussed throughout last weekend, about trying to make it more, I guess, wrestling-centric, which we have in the past. And I think a lot of us as marks know who the wrestlers were, for the most part, who were pioneers in the LGBTQ community, whether we knew it or not at the time, like Pat Patterson, being wrestlers and or sports entertainers. But Kay thought, and I agree with Kay, looking back at it now, but it's better just to general education and not actually have it associated with wrestling, because it puts it all into a little bit better perspective, I believe.
Yeah, like, there's only so many times I can be like, oh, this wrestler's gay. We already knew that. Like, it would be like Pat Patterson, Sonya Deville, what, Anthony Bowens, Effie.
Darren Young as well.
Darren Young, like, we all, this is all shit everyone that's listening to our show most likely is aware of. I wanted to use pride, to teach y'all something a little different that you might not have known otherwise.
Becky's bisexual.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Kenny is a bisexual king.
Mm-hmm.
God, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, he is.
Good for Kenny.
So,
do we think Kenny Omega is a top or a bottom?
I don't want to think about it. But definitely bottom.
Bottom.
Pride Month? Bottom. Yeah.
Would you deny me this question during Pride Month?
No, bottom.
I'm denying you. There's a difference.
Very true. So let's move on to some unfortunate news that was reported earlier today at the time of our recording. No, so one of the greatest heels in the history of sports and entertainment, the Iron Sheik, unfortunately passed away at the age of 81. You guys might know the Iron Sheik from his most legendary Twitter account, which he would tweet everything in all caps and scrutinize Hulk Hogan on pretty much a daily basis. But I don't think a lot of us know about the life of the Iron Sheik. And here's some stuff I learned today. This is from ESPN.com's little retrospective on the Iron Sheik. Sheik, whose real name is, and excuse me if I screw this up, Hussein Khosrow Ali Vazari, was a former WF World Champion, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2005 as a hated heel. He had legendary battles in the 1980s against Hulk Hogan, Backlund, and Sergeant Slaughter. Sheik beat Backlund for the WWF title in December of 1983. And 1 month later, January 1984, Hogan defeated Sheik in front of more than 20,000 at MSG to win the belt for the first time. That match in particular helped catapult Hulkamania into the phenomenon that it was, which later led into the first WrestleMania just about a year later. Before starting in professional wrestling, Sheik was a bodyguard for the last Shah of Iran, which is the last king of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. He was a Greco-Roman wrestler in his home country, nearly making the 1968 Olympic team. Sheik then moved to the U.S., where he won an AAU Greco-Roman wrestling championship at 180.5 pounds and became an assistant coach for the United States wrestling team, including its Olympic team in 1972. Around that time, he broke into pro wrestling in Minnesota with AWA and Vern Gagne. Under coach and catch wrestling legend Billy Robinson, Sheik was given a character based on his Iranian heritage, and he leaned into it, shaving his head, growing a handlebar mustache, and wearing shoes curled at the toes, those legendary curled shoes, which went on to become an iconic look. He joined WWF for the first time in 1979, winning MSG's first Battle Royal match and having matches with the likes of Bruno Sammartino and Cheap J Strongbow. After dropping the title to Hogan in 84, Sheik had a memorable host of matches with Sergeant Slaughter, a U.S. military-based character. The feud played off real-life tensions between the U.S. and Sheik's Iran homeland, which made him one of the most villainous people at the time. They had a violent, bloody boot camp match. If you've never seen the boot camp match, it's rough. At MSG in 84. In recent years, Sheik developed a cult fan following on Twitter, which we all were followers of, even from people who never watched his legendary battles inside the square circle. Sheik is survived by his wife, Carol, to whom he was married for 47 years, his children, Tanya and Nikki, and his son-in-law, Eddie, according to his Twitter account. So rest in peace, the Iron Sheik. And I'll put this out there right now and I'll leave you guys to talk about it. Iron Sheik might be a top five heel in the history of pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he was big in the Gulf War. He had stones to do that storyline. And for the record, his last tweet, fuck the wildfires.
He tweeted about one of my favorite bands, Boy Genius, and I was very confused.
Dude, he just tells him to go fuck himself.
R.I.P. Sheiky.
In the past week, he told the Wizard of Oz, Little House in the Prairie, the fuck the rhythm and the rhyme, the Apple Pro Vision headset, fuck Hogan, fuck the Monday twice. Starship's meant to fly. What the fuck do you think, jabroni? He fucks with fruit gushers, but you couldn't find him in a store. Take a deep breath and reflect on how dumb of a son of a bitch you are. Which, yes, I do that frequently.
Yes.
I should hang that in my bathroom.
He came after My Little Pony, and that's it. The May. Fuck the May. So yeah, Iron Sheik's Twitter just existed of him telling people to go fuck off, things and people, things and ideas to fuck off. So that's my kind of guy, honestly. I was so close to retweeting all these, but I remember the only Twitter account I have is my work one. It's not my account,
you,
so
you can't do that.
Don't need that on my conscience. Will, I'm gonna go to work. Will, why did our Twitter account tell My Little Pony to go fuck itself? the thing is.
Cameron, what are your thoughts on the Sheiky?
My concern is for the future of heel Twitter. Who's the new guy?
Oh, trust me, they'll find somebody. Yeah, they'll find somebody.
Trump is not going to come back to Twitter.
No, you say that now.
Yeah, you say that now.
No.
Oh, take
it
pills.
It shall not happen.
Yeah, so RIP to the Iron Sheik, one of the greatest heels of all time. The reason we have the Camel Clutch to begin with, just a heel through and through, but apparently one of the most beloved people in all of the wrestling world. The Rock talks about him a lot. The Rock was a big part of The Rock's growing up, because Sheik knew his father and Sheik was always around. He's portrayed in the Young Rock series as well. Sheik is Sheik. He was kind of a one-of-a-kind individual, but also very, very strong. Like, he doesn't look it, but he was wicked strong.
Yeah, freak athlete, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not a guy you actually want to get into a fight with at all.
Sheik reminds me of this middle school math teacher I had named Mr. Urban, who was, like, bench pressing, like, 300 pounds in his 80s.
I'm not surprised by that at all. Yeah. That definitely sounds something like Sheiky would do. So rest in peace to the Iron Sheik. Your Twitter will be missed immensely.
God, I hope WWE does a good video package on him, because he for sure deserves it.
Oh, SmackDown's probably going to be wild with Sheik stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild with Sheik stuff. I wonder how Slaughter's doing, because that was like his nemesis, but I believe they were really good friends in real life.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. So yes, rest in peace to the Iron Sheik. Although he is not from here. Saudi Arabia, Will was talking to me earlier before the show, as I had discussed with him, had made an interesting purchase, because last time we talked about the public investment fund of Saudi Arabia, we talked about them potentially purchasing WWE. Well, guess what, folks? That didn't happen, but they are not out of the sports and entertainment business, as we came to know a couple of days ago. They bought golf. They literally bought
again.
Golf.
They bought it again.
Yeah. What do you mean again?
They bought the PGA.
LAV is merging with the PGA, meaning Saudi Arabia just bought all of golf.
Yeah.
Why?
Money.
Oh, good for them.
I mean, that's pretty much the reason for a lot of stuff, but it was money.
I guarantee you some shady deals have going on with Trump golf courses, too.
Yeah, so what ended up happening is, for all intents and purposes, is that according to the agreement, which is actually a really great agreement because I read up on it, Saudi becomes the exclusive investor. The public investment fund becomes the exclusive investor in this new company, but the majority of the board will still be the PGA, who will be running operations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Saudi has bought it. They didn't buy it to run it. They just bought it for publicity and good PR more than anything.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, I know you wanted to talk a little bit more about this and sports watching and how this kind of relates, so the floor is yours, sir.
This is kind of interesting how, like, this I don't remember, like, what the reaction was publicly from when WWE did this, like, years ago, but you know they're going to do a new deal with WWE once this one runs out.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what the reaction is going to be there. And I see a lot of the reactions from this, and it reminds me of how I initially reacted when this first happened and the huge argument that me, Ricky, and Dave got into.
What's led to the greatest storyline in the history of the podcast.
Which led to the work. And after watching the Saudi shows with WWE, it does kind of make me change my position on deals like this, where I think people need to stop equating the crimes of the government with the crimes of the people. Meaning, there really, for the most part, isn't no crimes of the people. You know, there's cultural differences that can be disgusting, but that's because cultural differences, nothing you can do about that. But yeah, the Saudi Arabian government, fucking disgusting. War criminals, and, you know, they killed Jamal Khashoggi and all that fun stuff. And, you know, they did 9/11, all of that. So, like, if people were upset, you know, you're all totally justified. But this isn't about that, you know. There are plenty of geopolitical things to get mad at. Like, the U.S. sells arms to Saudi Arabia. We sell weapons. And what do you do with those weapons? They're committing genocide in Yemen. Like, you're upset about golf, but you're not upset about that? A little weird. It's just weird. Maybe you just don't know about that. Like, hey, did you know they're just committing genocide in Yemen because of U.S. arm deals? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. See? There you go. So, there's plenty of anger to be had at Saudi Arabia, but I think a lot of this anger does get directed at, like, the people. And I think that's bizarre. Because, yeah, like, if there's one thing I don't mind Saudi Arabia getting involved with in terms of U.S. deals, it's sports and entertainment. Because they can be just like the rest of the world. I mean, hey, people over there like golf. People over there like wrestling. People over there like movies that they're allowed to watch. So, like, I don't think this is worth getting up in arms about. Especially when there's more important things to get up in arms about. And it's just, I think it's a good deal. The golfers are going to get paid. The golfers were completely blindsided to it, I think it's pretty funny.
I know, it's hysterical, too.
But, I mean, like, they're like, if Saudi Arabia was buying, like, like a New York Stock Exchange, yeah, then we got some problems. You know what I mean? But, like, they're buying golf. So it's just like, this, you know, just don't watch golf then.
Yeah, let it be. Look at you, Will, growing so much in these past years since the work.
Wow. But no,
it is something to kind of really discuss, is that. And it's, I think it's something that, in terms of professional wrestling and them doing shows over there, something that WWE really highlighted in front of, in lieu of all of that contention with them doing the deals in the first place, was that they put on these shows and they, like, WWE does it really well. They ingratiate themselves in the community, if only for like a week.
Yeah.
They do it at WrestleMania all the time. And they, number one, WWE's, philanthropic team is awesome. Kudos to Stephanie McMahon for spearheading that when that first got kicked off. But they do a lot. They just did, they just did their first Make-A-Wish over in Saudi Arabia. They helped do the Special Olympics. It's gotten to the point where, you know, individuals like Sami Zayn is able to go over there and really kind of invest in his religion and his religious culture. He made a trip to Mecca. He came out in his traditional, in a more religious outfit when he did the main event, something that he was never able to do for such a long time due to Stanley. He got his chance to do that, and people embraced him and loved him for it. And I thought it was a beautiful thing to see.
It was a beautiful thing to see.
And all of that
doesn't excuse the war crimes and crimes against humanity their government commits. And don't worry, our government commits them too. Don't get me wrong either. But it doesn't mean, like, just because 9/11 happened that they can't do business in exchange in culture. That is how people change. Exchanges of culture is how people change. It's what makes America so uniquely great. There's so many different cultures that we get to share and experience together.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, like, you can be upset, like, but just put the boycott on saying you shouldn't do business with them because their government's bad. I think that's just as silly as people saying you shouldn't go shop at Target because they changed their pride flag colors. It's just ridiculous. It's just very, very silly. Especially when there's bigger problems and bigger fish to fry with these issues with that the country clearly has.
Yeah, and it's the other thing is that, you know, like I said, separating the people from the government, which is another topic you can go in.
It's very, very important. You have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is very important. And look, they're spreading joy. Wrestling's fun. I don't care where it's at. I love watching wrestling. I'll watch it anywhere.
I love watching them enjoy wrestling. Like
that too.
Like more than other people. Like I really enjoyed watching the Puerto Ricans love wrestling, but for some reason, I like watching Saudi Arabians enjoy it even more.
You know what it is? Because they're invested. They're invested as much, if not more, than us.
Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong. There's still parts of their culture that restrict. Like I don't know if this is Saudi Arabia in particular. It might be Iran or Iraq. I don't know the exact country, but they're actually more kind to people being transgender because it's illegal to be gay. So if you are a gay man, you are by law required to get transgender surgery because you can't.
It has to be country specific. Like I said, I don't know the info on that. We'd have to do more research.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, but all in all, these events are going to keep going, and it's going to be a good thing. You got to exchange culture. You got to get other people from around the world to know each other, and that is always a positive thing. And WWE was one of the companies that helped to spearhead that with Saudi. And I think overall, it is a promising and a good thing. But let's move along from this to guess what, folks? Tony Khan has another announcement for the umpteenth week in a row. Okay, so let's go through the Tony Khan announcements here. So a couple weeks ago, he said Collision was coming, the worst kept secret in all of wrestling. He then said last week that not only are we bringing Collision on Saturdays to TNT because it's just WCW Saturday Night or Monday Night Show in disguise, look at the goddamn logo, but he said we're going to be in business when CM Punk again, because that always goes well for everybody.
Tony Khan sounds so unexcited to announce that too. He's like, CM Punk will be back. Yay.
Yeah.
Hey Murphy, what's your reaction to Mr. Charles Michael Punk being back?
I knew he was coming back. Of course I'm excited. That's my boy. However, like, I want to see how they approach him coming back, because that media scrum was an embarrassment.
Yeah, it was.
Such an embarrassment. Like, this is the thing. If I feel like that press conference I really hope that he was able to, like, is able to salvage what he could have had. Like, that could have been, like, the truce. It could have been the fucking summer of punk. And instead, he was unhinged and chugging Spindrift. So, I'm hopeful that it'll be good, but I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be, I'm going to, like, prioritize AEW again. This is what happens every time CM Punk comes back, and I know I'm not the only person that feels that way.
They do need. So my question for you, Kay, is this. So Tony Khan tonight is going to announce the main event of the first AEW Collision. This is his announcement. He's announcing the first main event of Collision. Kay Murphy, what is Collision's first ever main event?
My original guess was probably Punk and Jericho. Now I don't know. I don't know. I feel like Punk and Jericho is, like, interesting enough where, like, people will watch that. People will want to see that.
Jericho's looking rough these days, I'm not going to lie.
Even better. Make Punk look great. Okay. I stick by it.
So Tony Khan's going to come out and be like, Collision, the biggest wrestling show of the last, like, 6 months. The main event. We got CM Punk versus all of you. He's going to fucking apologize. And then drops the mic.
You know, here's what it is. The main event is going to be CM Punk versus the media. It's going to be a live media scrum in the middle of the ring. Oh, my God.
Punk versus Meltzer?
Yes.
Stop. Yes. No.
Give it to me.
Punk, Meltzer and Alvarez on a 2-1 handicap match versus CM Punk. He comes up to the AFI song.
It's gonna have the media. It's gonna be called the media scrum match.
Dude, what would Dave Meltzer's entrance song be?
Probably not Welcome Back, Connor. The Leave It to Beaver theme song.
Oh God, that's a good one. I was thinking, you know, when Kilby the woohoo,
yeah,
he loves Japan so much.
Yeah, that's what I think. Friends of Mania, who's watching our show live right now on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, is going to be giving us what the main event is. So we will get back to that. So we don't know what the main event of Collision is, but we do know that there have been announcements from AEW that they just leaked online and didn't make a big deal out of it for their upcoming, I don't know, their pay-per-view at the end of the month called Forbidden Door. And the first of those announcements is that we're getting Okada versus Bryan Danielson.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. That's not a special announcement. That's just, oh, hey, by the way, Okada versus no build, no nothing. Okada versus Bryan Danielson, Sunday, June 25th at Forbidden Door in Toronto, Canada. If Canada's Canada's not on fire before then. So that is one of the first matches. This is a dream match. I've seen Okada wrestle, and Okada's so fucking smooth. And
I might buy the pay-per-view then.
And Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, is just a freaking wizard of the mat. And I don't even think this is a main event. This is just a match. Okay, this is just the match on the card. That's wild. Okay. Like, what are your thoughts on? I mean, Will, you're so inspired, you might actually want to buy this pay-per-view.
Yeah, dude. I mean, yeah. It's like I'm not a fan of New Japan. I don't watch New Japan. I haven't watched AEW in months. But it's just like, okay, we're just gonna do an all-star game. I like all-star games. I do. Who doesn't like an all-star game? Like, who doesn't like
the NFL? Like, doesn't like an all-star like a game
dunk contest, right? Who doesn't like the six-shot challenge in hockey? No one watches the Pro Bowl except for maybe Ricky, but.
No, I didn't watch it this year. I did not watch it this year at all.
It's a good idea. So, yeah, I'm all about this. Yeah, I think it's I'll watch it. Fuck it, sure. How much? $50? Fine.
$50, $60, yeah. So, also, there was another match that was announced as well. The IWGP United States Championship held by Kenny Omega will be putting his title on the line against the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay. That is the other match on that has been announced for Forbidden Door. Again, these announcements didn't get special announcements from Tony Khan because Tony Khan's too busy trying to figure out what is going to be the main event of Collision. But we're going to tell you.
Can I just say that, like, 2016 me is, like, salivating.
Is it really, Kay?
Oh, my God, yeah. I would have fucking been all over this shit. I am all over this shit. I find it rude that Forbidden Door is the same night as Pride.
Oh, I'm so sorry,
Kay. Me too. This happened last year too.
Well, we will have boots on the ground. Fretzelmania will be in attendance. He's got floor seats to Forbidden Door.
Fretz, that's great.
Yeah, yes. Fucking wow.
Yeah, Fretz has floor seats to Forbidden Door. He's probably going to try to get pictures or whatever he's going to do. Just try not to lose your voice before the show actually starts, Fretz.
Yeah, Fretz, if you boot out your nephew or whoever and give me a ticket instead, I'll forgive you for poisoning New York.
Yeah, so Forbidden Door is shaping up to be a wild time. So honestly, folks, here's we have kind of an off. We kind of have another generic show next week. Week after that, we're doing a preview of Forbidden Door. Week after that, we're doing a preview of Money in the Bank.
Money for the marks, baby.
Yeah, it's gonna be summer. Summer is kicking up real quick. Real soon. Forbidden Door and then Money in the Bank weeks away from each other. Great American Bash is actually coming back too for NXT. They're doing that. They're on the road again. They are going to be in Dallas for Great American Bash because that just seems appropriate, to be honest with you.
It is a
premium live event. It's a Peacock. Yep, it's a Peacock special. Yep.
Good. That's good for them.
Yeah, no, they're traveling again. It's very, very good for them to continue down that road. But let's move on to the rest of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, we finally got everything that we wanted for, kind of. Roman Reigns has one belt now.
Thank God.
So what you're seeing right now is a picture of Roman Reigns that he posted to his social media with a new belt. There's a little bit, yes, it is looks very much the same as the belts he had before, except for the fact that the background is now gold and the W's have now black stones or black stones instead of white stones.
They switched the colors. Like, that's all they did.
The other
it's
thing.
It's so gaudy.
I love it.
I hate it. I knew it.
I love how you say gaudy too, because that makes your New Yorker come out really thick.
Gaudy.
Oh, Brit, do you understand? This bitch was just being fucking gaudy.
So I do want to point something out to both of you. Visually, we can now say, yes, Seth has a belt. Roman has a belt. However, if you look closely in that picture, it says in Roman's belt, doesn't say Universal Champion. Doesn't say WWE Universal Champion. It says Undisputed Champion. Seth Rollins officially has a secondary title.
Dude, it's a tertiary title.
Yeah.
It's a tertiary. Like, although Roman's does look like it's just you spilt honey, like spicy brown mustard on it. And just smeared it around.
Honestly, when I first saw it, when I watched the show live, I was like, maybe. But then, like, I saw it, like, without all of the, like, stage lights on it. Because yeah. It's freaking glistening.
Like, you guys ever go, like, plaster playtime, plaster fun time? That you go and, like, you paint things?
You know what's so funny? I was just thinking about that yesterday.
Like, it literally looks like a kid just went to, like, a plaster fun time and just painted it. Took off the shelf and painted it. Oh, did we lose Ricky?
Ricky?
I think we lost.
Hello? The reason I was thinking about it is I painted my nails. They're like light purple, and I put this like pinky purple glitter on it. And as a child, hi, Ricky. I painted.
Hey, sorry about that.
Recording. We're still live, as you were.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good. I got you.
I went to like a birthday party in one of those like classroom, and I painted a telephone, and it was lilac with pink glitter on it. And my nails look exactly like my project.
I still have all my plaster playtime.
That's the.
They're trash.
Oh, woohoo. But yeah, no. So that title, can you guys hear me? Right?
Yes.
Right,
cool. Your picture's frozen, but we got you.
I know. I look very animated in that. I'll be fixing
so
that very,
excited.
Very soon.
It's like I'm someone, like someone showed you tits. You're like, whoa!
It's like Ricky went to Bourbon Street.
Oh, yeah. I did go to Bourbon
Street. Yeah, you threw beads at someone.
I threw beads at someone. I emceed Bourbon Street. As well, if everybody remembers that. That was a good time. So, pretty crazy stuff. So, Roman's got a new belt. And he is still the number one guy, as told by WWE in that amazing video package.
Oh, so good.
Kay, have you seen this video package?
I did. I'm caught up.
Their timeline was really cool.
Yeah, it was really.
AJ had it for over 300 days.
He had a great run.
A full year.
I forgot about that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. AJ had a pretty crazy run. For everything that he went through. I mean, I'm also surprised they also put in CM Punk's run as well.
Yeah, CM Punk's was in there. Yep.
Yeah. Very, very interesting that they added the Punkster with that, but good for them. Good for them. All right, moving over real quick. But also in that same segment, as well as I'll just go black as I am on social media. But anyway, also in that same segment for Roman Reigns' title, we have one of the greatest cliffhangers in the history of pro wrestling at this point, because we need to find out whether or not Jay is going to choose the bloodline or not.
Oh, man. Him kicking his brother in the face would be fucking wild.
The pop would be outrageous.
I mean, they've had some crazy pops to begin with. But
could
now
you
we're
imagine? No, if you book it out, hold out just a little bit where you Uso versus Uso at Survivor Series. Could you imagine?
It'd be nuts. I love having that Sammy pop from the Rumble.
Yeah. I mean, we know that Solo has picked the bloodline. Jimmy obviously has not picked the bloodline. So what's Jay going to do? It's the biggest soap opera in wrestling. I literally had a friend over watching wrestling for the first time, totally in love with Roman and everything. Uh-huh. And they were on the edge of their seat during this entire segment. It was the most excited they have been for anything that we watch, besides Pretty Deadly coming up, because Pretty Deadly is really fucking funny.
I don't like them like at all.
They're an acquired taste at
this
point.
They're fucking boring to me.
Wouldn't you love Pretty Deadly before?
No.
I thought you
never
did.
Oh. No.
They're an acquired taste.
I always felt that they were mid. Good for them. I'm happy for them. It's not my thing.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So here's the question. Who does Jay go to? Well, Tarashok.
Dude, don't put me on a spot like this. he does it at the Rumble and picks neither and his bitches out and just leaves, walks out.
He chooses himself.
Yeah.
That won't happen.
Love
you
is
know
the
that.
Answer.
You can't do this, Oos. You can't make me choose. Come on, Oos. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I can't, dude. I don't think tweets in all caps. It's pretty funny.
Hold on. KKK. All right. So that was Will's J. Will, do the Roman.
Oh, God. Jay, you got to choose. No, hang on. You got to pick the bloodline or you got to pick your brother. You got to acknowledge me.
I respectfully chop.
The Roman's hard doing on the spot.
That's very true. All right, fair enough. Oh, man. Oh, man. This is so compelling. I don't know where it goes from here. So let's say, like, if Jay actually does, like, leave the bloodline, does him and Jimmy just go back to regular Usos?
That's the thing, like, the bloodline has set up a really hard kind of, like, once the bloodline imploded, which we knew it was going to, it kind of leaves them in a where the fuck are they going to end up, because literally anything less than what they were doing will most likely be a downgrade.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really hard.
Like, they're going to, I guarantee you, they will be feuding with the New Day again in 3 months.
Aren't all of them hurt, or is Kofi still on TV?
I don't know.
Well, Big E hasn't been cleared.
Yeah, which, man, take your time. You broke your neck.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked if he never came back ever.
I know. I believe Kofi. I think they just don't have anything for Kofi Xavier at this point. They're just chilling.
I think Xavier's injured too.
Potentially
his knee or something. It's Kofi. Yeah. Kofi's the one that's still hurt. Fretz knows.
It's Kofi. Kofi's still hurt too. It's Kofi. Which is fine. Kofi's getting up there in age. Which again, perfectly fine for Kofi. Take some time off. They've done enough in their career. They're all going to the Hall of Fame. It doesn't matter at this point. Just chill out. But I get it. But I get it. But again, most compelling thing in all of wrestling. But I am going to be missing Paul Heyman. Kind of being Paul.
I liked Paul Heyman carrying two belts.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, me too.
I miss it. I miss it a lot. Oh, well. Shit happens. All right. Moving on to this. This is how big the segment, and this is something that WWE does really well, is talk about their accomplishments. That past that past segment, the Bloodline segment in particular, 40 million views. This was reported on Monday during Raw.
I'm the demo god, guys.
I'm the demo god, actually.
You're a demo gay. I wish you would have made a shirt for that this year. Call you the demo gang. Demo
we
gang
still
shirt.
Can. It's the first. We still can try. Make demo.
Let's work on it, Kay.
Got it.
Demo gay shirts. That'd be great. We're gonna rush order them for everybody.
You're worse than an airport tuna sandwich. God, what is
But yes, this is the power of the Bloodline. WWE at this point is kicking on all cylinders. Like, it's pretty gross how efficient they're running right now. And the Bloodline segment is just one of those segments. But moving on to what I think was the highlight of Raw, Dom Mysterio just gets heat for days.
He doesn't even do anything.
He's just alive.
He just looks like a piece of shit. honestly, it's the tattoos. It's the tattoos he already
Do you know
had.
What he reminds me of? And it's, like, really specific.
Please.
What?
So, obviously, both of y'all lived on Long Island. So, y'all have been
I still live on Long Island.
You still live on Long Island. So, okay. Y'all... Technically. I don't want to hear it.
Don't be that person, Kay. Don't be that
person. I'm 1,000% that person. I am 1,000% that person. Anyway, oh my god. I lost my train of thought. Dominic Mysterio. Kohl's.
Yes, Kohl's. What about Kohl's?
The men's section of Kohl's, specifically the Tony Hawk brand of Kohl's, that is what Dominic Mysterio reminds me of.
Good analogy. So here's my question, and I'll pose this to you, Kay, since we're on you right now, and I don't feel like switching screens.
Valid.
is Dom Mysterio the best heel in all of wrestling?
No. Well, it's Ooh. Iron Sheik, but he's dead, so.
And that's still performing, Kay.
You didn't specify.
But all of wrestling would have really tipped you off about it.
I don't have an answer. My funny answer, once again, for this will be the internet wrestling community is the greatest heel in wrestling. I don't know. I think Dominic Mysterio gets heel heat because he's fucking annoying, not because he's good at being a heel.
Interesting. Well, what are your thoughts?
I think he's great at being a heel. Because he knows, because he gets the reaction and he plays off of it. And other heels in the business get that cool heat. Like, yeah, we boo Roman, but we all on our knees acknowledging our tribal trifus. Like, that's just what we do. I'm trying to think of, like, other heels. Rhea's also a great heel. Rhea Ripley's a great heel.
Oh, Rhea's outstanding.
Yeah, Rhea and Dom work great together. So two of them together, I think, is the best heels in wrestling. MJF is a good heel. People like MJF. Like, no one likes Dom. No one likes
I feel like MJF lost his steam.
I would agree with that, too. I mean,
I disagree.
I mean, Asuka's a heel, but she isn't really... She's just freaky and misses you. So it's not really a heel. Brock is a heel who's loved. Like, what other heels are there? There's not many heels out there. Finn's a shitty heel. Demon Priest is a shitty heel. LA Knight is a cool heel.
Yeah.
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 Gunther's a good heel, but he's not hated. You know what I mean? He's just a bad guy.
Oh, they're going to give Gunther a good heel here.
Yeah, Gunther's respected. That's a good way of putting it, Kay. Gunther's respected, but we acknowledge him as a heel. Like, we don't want him to win, but he earns the respect. So, yeah, I would say Dom is the top heel in wrestling.
Yeah, no, I think Dom has to be the top heel in wrestling.
In terms of the classic definition of what a heel is supposed to be and what a heel is.
Yeah, he gets heel heat. He gets, it's one of the things, like, his heat is really bad, but it's good heat.
It's good heat.
It's good heat. And honestly, he's, of all the heels that you even mentioned, Will, in comparison to other heels that are currently in the business or currently hold titles, number one, Dom's mentioned on multiple shows that aren't WWE, which I thought was really interesting. Number two, he works the crowd like no one's business. He's so good at just continuing to get that heat. Yeah. It's like, it wasn't piped in at all, Fretz. But it's like when we booed Roman for like 10 minutes straight, but it's like that for Dom all the time.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. And he's holding his own with the likes of people like The Miz and Cody Rhodes, who are some of the top talkers in the business.
Yeah. Yeah, The Miz did a good job. Basically, they playing it up.
It was crazy because not only was it because, like, if you look at that segment again from that perspective, The Miz helped give him more heat, and so did Rhea.
Yeah, so did Cody.
So did Cody, yeah, at different times.
Yeah.
They all, and it's cool to see, but they all are literally just helping Dom just elevate him more and more. I love how Cody was like, yeah, no, don't boo Dom.
Don't boo Dom. Whatever will you do? that's what I mean by a good heel too. Like, you can get the heat, but you know, you gotta know how to keep the heat and use the heat and use it against the crowd.
Yeah.
And Dom's really good at it, especially because who do you learn it from? Ray was never a heel, like ever in his career. Ray has never been a heel.
I don't know.
It's so, like, where did he learn to be this good of a heel? I guess Eddie is his dad.
That has to be the case. So
I mean, he does remind me of Eddie too, like a lot, not just the look and the hair, specifically the look and the hair, but the mannerisms are very much heel Eddie Guerrero in WCW.
Yeah. Yeah. Dom just has heat for existing. That is very correct, Fretz. He just has heat for existing. And it's great. It's great. It also shows you how beloved Ray is.
You got it from Chavito, too. Ooh, Chavo!
Chavo's too busy trying to fight the LWO.
Chavo just wants a job, all right? That's what Chavo wants. Even Conan, they both want jobs.
Listen, I'll give Conan a job, damn it.
Ooh-la-lay! That was his whole thing in WCW. It's been, ooh-la-lay!
I love me some Conan.
He's such a cholo. Can I say that cholo? What I can say?
Maybe. I've hung out with Conan. Conan's a dope dude. Anyway, moving on.
Like the shit.
Yeah, Conan's awesome. Money in the Bank is coming up, folks. We already had some qualifying matches for Money in the Bank. So currently, here are our participants for the men's and women's Money in the Bank. As we know it so far, about half the field has already been selected. For the women, we have the queen of the LWO, Chonkla and everything. And I love how Zelina has made the Chonkla a part of her gimmick now. Zelina Vega. Yes, it's a chocolate. Yeah. yes. Becky Lynch, because you need somebody to really guide everybody through this match. And newcomer and protege to Trish Stratus, Zoe Stark, is in the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. They have qualified thus far. In the men's, we have Ricochet, because someone has to do flippy shit. Shinsuke Nakamura. Seriously, Shinsuke Nakamura. And Knight beating Montez Ford in a fantastic match. SmackDown has been doing longer matches, which is really, really cool. So out of these two, Kay Murphy, out of these two matches, men and women, who wins right now with the current roster people in the
LA Knight is winning the men's, and who's in the women's again?
You have Zelina, Becky, and Zoe Stark.
I could see Becky or Zoe for the women. But LA Knight, 1,000,000%.
For me, it's right now, I do not see Ricochet. I feel like Ricochet, all right, so, Will, do you remember when Ricochet debuted in New Orleans?
Hell yeah, how could I forget?
Yeah. I feel like they're going to do all of that to him again. He was, like, Ricochet debuted in NXT and then WWE in New Orleans in a ladder match, and they made him a crash test dummy.
They're like, hey, you're coming in as what we call in the business a rag doll. You are getting thrown around by Snitsky over here. Lars, pay attention. You're in this too. You're going to throw this guy around. Yes, sir.
Yes, we'll give you one springboard moonsault. Yes, all right, to the outside in front of everybody. I got it. Yes, you got that. But you're going off a couple of ladders.
Yeah, and through a couple of ladders.
Yeah.
I would love to see LA Knight with that briefcase, but problem is he's on SmackDown.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he could easily go to Raw and cash in on Seth.
Are you insinuating that he would go for a world title? Because last year we had Austin go for the U.S.
Two of them now. One of them's not held by Roman. Yeah, he's going to go after the world title. Like, yeah, I hated what they did with Austin Theory, but it was better than the alternative. In that situation, it made sense, and he sold it well. He's like, "Listen, man, I tried three times, and the guy's untouchable. So what the fuck did you want me to do?" Which is just like, yeah, you kayfabe, that makes sense.
So, I also love. Remember when he tried to cash in on Roman in England and Tyson Fury punched him in the face?
Oh yeah,
fuck out. It was great. So yeah, but he still go after a world title. I don't know who else is going to be in this. I can't imagine who else is going to be in this. But yeah, I would love to see LA Knight with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the thing with the Money in the Bank is that the rules are very clear, but they're also very vague. It's an any title, anywhere, anytime. And we've had the Money in the Bank briefcase show up on NXT Raw and SmackDown last year as well. So they can go anywhere. The next question I have is that there have been rumors, and it's confirmed yet. Would you guys like to see one slot for an NXT participant?
I think it'd be really cool if they won it and took it to NXT and then cashed in on Carmelo Hayes. I think that'd be really cool.
Oh, that would be cool.
Carmella Hayes is dealing with a revitalized Baron Corbin right now.
It's more of
cool.
It's more of like, hey man, if you gotta try and get people to watch NXT, the Money in the Bank briefcase could be helpful.
Yeah, no, I do like that idea because it also kind of lets you know that any champion is on notice within WWE.
Yeah, you gotta give it a Bron Breakker though.
Honestly, that can work.
Yeah, it could work. He's a heel.
That could work.
Heel Bron Breakker is made for heels.
Heel Bron Breakker is fantastic. Unless you're
the
women,
it's made to cash in on the same night.
Yeah, I hope that trend stops this year too as well. Probably not. But also, I think it was a WWE Digital exclusive. Bron Breakker has challenged Seth Rollins for the world title.
Nice.
Ooh.
That'd be a fun match. Honestly, LA Knight and Seth Rollins would be a really fun feud. I'm glad
that
Seth
would be
with
fun.
Finn Balor. But he's gonna beat the fuck out of him.
Just don't separate his shoulder again, Seth. Yeah, for God's sake.
Oh God.
Joint. Yeah, when he threw Damian Priest on Monday, I was like, oh fuck, not again. Not again. Although I will say this, and we're slowly hinting at it. JD McDonagh is joining Judgment Day.
Yeah.
What?
Probably. I'm calling it clear as day. JD McDonagh is going to join Judgment Day. He's either going to usurp Finn because there are holes in Judgment Day, or Finn is going to bring him in. That's what I think's happened. I love JD McDonagh. He almost killed Dolph, and I love him more and more for that. So, but Money in the Bank is going to be wild. Thank God it's at 3 and not at 1, like Night of Champions was. You can actually get like kind of half a day in before you actually have to watch this event, except if you're in Canada because Canada Day.
Am I doing anything July 1st? No, nothing's on the
calendar. It's a Saturday. Nothing's on the calendar. Yeah. That's not going to a bed and breakfast in New England?
No,
I'm
not.
I don't think I have.
We are doing one of them dinner cruises around New York City.
Fancy.
Our 3-year anniversary is next Tuesday.
Ooh.
How many?
Three years.
Oh, that's exciting.
What'd you get her? Don't tell her. I know she's in the room, but you can tell us.
She's actually not in the room. We don't do gifts like that. We bought each other the boat cruise food dinner thing around New York City. It's buffet style. I'm fucking pumped, dude. So much food.
Does the cruise have a theme?
No, I don't think so. Dude, the fees for this fucking... Can I go on a sidebar here? The fees for this thing were fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, so, like, the tickets were... So we paid... It was, like, it was $150 each. And then it was, like, $40 of fees. So $150 each. I was like, okay, that's fine. It's a three-hour cruise around New York City. Great.
Was the cruise sponsored by Ticketmaster?
No, we bought it on their website. So
by Ticketmaster?
Probably, honestly. So it was $150 each, 3 hours, food included. You got to pay for booze. You got to use the city. It's like, oh, that's fine. But then it was like, there was this fees for like was just stupid things. Let's see if I can pull up the receipt. Because it was just like, so there are fees. Then you pay taxes on the fees. I was like, what kind of bullshit is this?
So you have like processing fee, taxes, and all of that stuff.
Not even like processing fees. It's like a convenience fee. Let's see if I can find Resi reservations.
It's a processing fee, yeah.
Let's go see if I can do the
like doing anything in New York City is fucking expensive, but that's ridiculous.
Okay, let's see if I can find it. Yep, here it is. All right, so there's an activity. So there's activity tax. What the fuck is an activity tax?
An activity tax?
What the fuck is a $17 activity tax? And then there's the
Go ahead. You're doing an activity. Doing an activity.
Yeah, so is walking in the park. They don't tax you for that. So is having sex in a subway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything's an activity. Going to a Yankee game is an activity. There's no activity fee for that. Then there's a $60 admin fee. Which
really?
What the fuck does that
mean?
Ooh,
collision announcement incoming. According to
Collision announcement incoming. Ooh, that's where we're gonna end the show. We're gonna end the show with an announcement about collision. I am so not excited for this.
Oh, FTR
and Bullet Club and Jay White. Okay,
bitch.
So on top of the admin fee was the admin tax, and then $16 of just fees. They don't tell me what it was. Just fees. That might have been like gas and like actual fees for the boat. So that one makes sense. But fucking ridiculous. That's... Dude. It was an extra how many dollars in fees? 15, 60, 70, 75. It's like an extra $90 of fees.
That's gross.
Yeah. So it was supposed to be 130 per ticket. But the total was an extra so that's what? 260? It was an extra 90, it was almost $100 of fees in taxes. So I don't care how good the cruise is. I'm leaving a 1-star review. But yeah, that thing was great. Service was phenomenal. $800 of fees. Go fuck yourself. Fuck your Google rating.
Well, what type of food's going to be on there? I know we're not.
Just going to ask, what's the menu?
Yeah, what's the food like?
I don't know, but it's Cornucopia Cruise Line.
So they better have a cornucopia amount of fucking food.
That's my favorite word.
Is it really?
Cornucopia is my favorite word.
Oh, and gratuities aren't included. Just,
of course it's
not. What are you going to do gratuities? It's a buffet.
Oh, the bar.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so this collision main event, this first ever collision main event, as we're ending the show on this shenanigans, and that's my favorite word of shenanigans, Punk and FTR, because those are probably the only two guys that will work with him, versus Samoa Joe and Bullet Club Gold, which is Jay White and Juice are aware, because Bullet Club has another fucking subsection of themselves. Because everybody just needs gold? To be there. Yeah, it's Bullet Club Gold. That's Jay White and Juice, I believe. So yeah, essentially what we're getting at Collision is a house show main event. Hope you guys are happy.
I'm excited.
So, okay, are you going to be watching on Saturday at 8 when it comes out?
Yes, I will. I will be out of work by 6 p.m. So my social life is going to be ruined.
Oh, well.
CM Punk every Saturday.
Here's my thing. This has to be... I need them to bring back the Nitro set or a Nitro-style set for this to work for me.
I want to see if there's new merch yet.
For AW Collision?
Dude,
for Punk.
I hope they get Mongo McMichael to do commentary.
Mongo!
I was going to ask, is there... did they announce the commentary team yet?
No, that'll probably be next week, Kay.
Oh, God, I'm nervous.
There's going to be announcements upon announcements about everything. Tony Khan needs to stop making announcements about anything. But And that's all we got this week, folks. This concludes our show this week. So thank you guys for joining us. And welcome back, Kay Murphy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Sorry,
the demo gay. Not gonna lie, Kay, I'm really excited to do a demo gay shirt. I have a semi-crazy idea we're gonna talk about on the post show.
I'll say we'll talk offline.
We'll talk offline. Talking offline works as well, because Kay, are you gonna still be around for a little couple rounds of Am I the Asshole?
Yes.
Yes. We've had some fun ones. There's one I found on
TikTok. But only for a little bit, because I would like to go play Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Of course. I had to get back to that game. I haven't played in a while.
So the new update came out today, and I'm fucking pissed. I'm having a crisis. We'll talk about it on the post show.
Okay. Well, Tarasak, whenever you're ready, sir.
Oh, yeah. That's my job, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Garby audio guy. Numbers don't count. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 343, Sheiky Baby. And Sheiky has really blacked out my own camera for this show. Oh, well, shit happens when you party naked. I'm just in my natural form. I'm smiling. You just can't see it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets whenever I return to social media, because I am blacked out, just like the square you're looking at on this video. Find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast. Across all social media. Like, share, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews, or just leave us a review in general, please. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Taquan does it to us all the time, but we need more people like Taquan. Kind of. Anywho, follow Wrestle Addict Radio and listen to us by subscribing to Wrestle Addict Radio wherever you listen to all of your podcasts, and follow Wrestle Addict Radio socials at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. So links to all of that stuff, including some of our great merch. Look out for a demo gay shirt coming soon in the description below. Will Tarashak.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Will Tarashak, T.S. and Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K. This morning I dropped a podcast talking with Tarashak with a man named Andrew Hutton, who is the founder and CEO of Day One, which is a cohort of
Day One ish or Day One?
It's Day One, no ish. I
told him no ish.
Ish, he didn't get it. He is the owner of the cohort fellowship, whatever fucking thing I joined, helping me with business stuff and forming my thing. I now have a target customer. So if you know CPAs, send them my way. People who have newsletters, send them my way. I'm going to try and get him to do podcasting shit. Yeah. T.S. Thomas, R.A.S.H., United Kingdom. Kay Murphy.
Demo gay.
It is me, the demo gay. Once again, we are at the point in the show where I'm too high to think of anything good. So you can find me across all social media platforms at kayfabe, KAE_fabe, FABE. I almost said my old social media handle because I'm so used to saying it. But yeah, I want to play Disney. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so we'll get you to that. When we come back next week, I bet you folks we'll have another goddamn Tony Khan announcement. Hopefully my computer won't crap out on me midway through the show. My apologies about that. And yeah, we're just going to get one week closer to Forbidden Door and money for the marks and all of that fun stuff, because the trio is back together. And we're going to be working on a guest host for Money for the Marks. I have just kind of confirmed that during the show in the comments if you have been paying attention and following. So until then, folks, goodbye. Good night. We'll see you soon. And fuck you, Slack.